All right, you're listening to episode 86 of the CTO Advisor. And we have a first-time guest. I've often wanted this. Do you listen to the CTO Advisor podcast?
You would be Melissa Townsend. And actually, sometime I do. It depends on the topic.
Okay, so you've heard it straight from her mouth. Mrs. CTO Advisor is on the phone. Melissa, introduce yourself to the CTO Advisor audience. Who are you and what's your role?
Hi, my name is Melissa Townsend, and you know who I am.
I know who you are, but the audience doesn't necessarily. You're the co-founder of the CTO Advisor.
That is true.
You know what? You talk just like an accountant and the finance and HR department. Your role is the CEO, and you're kind of matter of fact. You know what I do, and where's that? Where's my expense report from the last trip, huh?
You know, we're the behind scene party. We don't like to be seen or heard from often, okay. But when it comes to numbers, that's when we like to be seen and heard from.
Okay, so we won't be talking numbers this podcast.
Okay.
So not only are you the co-founder of the CTO Advisor, you're also my wife. So yes. That makes for a really interesting work dynamic.
Yes, it is. It's a very interesting work dynamic. But I do have to say that it's a balance between the two. At the beginning, it was some roadblocks, some stumbles, some butting heads. Now it's more of a cohesive environment where we can communicate a little bit better on areas that needs to be talked about.
Okay, so let's talk about some of those areas. We've been promising to do this kind of update on the CTO Advisor. How did we get here, where we're at, and hopefully where does it go type of thing. So let's talk about the first thing. Let's talk about how did we get here. A lot of times we look at these founder stories and you say, oh, HPE or HP was founded in Hewlett-Packard's garage and it's all fairy tale. How did we get to the point that we decided to leave the corporate world and start a job? Like, was it your idea? Was it my idea? Where did the concept come from?
It definitely was not my idea, and it's definitely not a fairy tale thus far. So let's clarify that right off the back. This is all your baby. I am just a follower who believe in your mission as a professional. Also, as a wife, I am an advocate for who you are and what you represent. So therefore, the challenge wasn't a great deal of challenge to say, would I be okay coming aboard to doing this venture with CTO Advisor? That wasn't the biggest challenge. The biggest challenge for me was, is it possible to do it at the time that he presented it to me?
So let's talk about that time and what you felt were the success criteria for us starting the CTO Advisor. This is something that we've talked about actually for 2 or 3 years, more or less, right? Ever since I made the shift from the Virtualized Geek to the CTO Advisor, we've talked about the idea of starting the CTO Advisor. What was the initial, remind me, what was that initial vision for the company?
The vision at that time, I believe we had a different vision.
Mm-hmm.
Your vision was more clear because you dreamed about it more often than I did. I was more of a spectator looking in to try to fit into your world and understand what that vision was. So it was at the beginning, it was a different vision for me. I don't know, you guys know a little bit history about Keith and I. There's an age gap between us, and at that point I was thinking more of, okay, he done lost his mind. What about retirement? What about savings? What about just let's move sailing and let's relax at this point in our lives? And he, on the other hand, was like, okay, yeah, let's climb Mount Everest and dive off without any experience type of scenario. So it was, for me, it was a bit scary. It was a bit, okay, let's get on level ground and be unified in this decision and see how I can become a visionary like you as well.
So looking from the outside in, what did you think this business would be? Like, what did you think I'd be doing it mainly consulting similar to what I did at PwC? Did you think I'd be doing blog posts for people? What did you think the business was going to be?
So at the beginning, I thought it would be a gambit of different things. I thought you would continue to do Pluralsight during some downtime. I thought
because we've had plenty of downtime, right?
Yeah. I thought it would be that. I thought it would also be some videos, doing a little bit more of that. White papers, of course, that was a part of my thought process. Also, I thought that it would be more advisory within, you know, corporations going in and giving advice on technology and what type of technology the business should be going with. So it was a bunch of gambled up things that I thought that we would be doing based off of your skill set that I've seen in the past. But that hasn't been the case, has it?
I don't know. I can't say that that has been the case. I think what I learned pretty quickly, which some honest feedback, is I thought the business revenues would be 70%, 60-70% consulting, and then 30-40% what we call influencer or marketing work. What I quickly found out was that those two businesses are very different businesses. While the content creation can lead to consulting opportunities, consulting opportunities take a long time to negotiate and bear out. So what I quickly found, you know, our good friend the Troyers, because you've met the Troyers since then.
Yes, I have.
One of John's sayings some years ago, I don't even know if he remembers this, you know, you can have a very successful popsicle stand outside of a steakhouse, but you really want to sell steaks, but people are buying popsicles. In my scenario, I want a really big advisory business, but vendors love the platform and the voice. My readers and listeners love the content, and those two things kind of mirrored each other. What we discovered that we got a lot more revenue from doing what is basically called sponsored content or content marketing. As a result, that meant that we had to travel a lot more than what I think we even anticipated. How's the travel been?
The travel has been, I don't want to say overwhelming. It's been a great deal of traveling. I feel like a stranger in my home sometime when I come back. I look around, I was like, oh, I do have a home versus, oh, I'm not living in another hotel for a week on after a week. That's part of the industry that I was somewhat used to you doing. But the ideal of it being more your responsibility on a day-to-day basis versus someone else determining your schedule. There has been some bumps along the way about, okay, should we go? Should we go to this event? Should we not go to this event? That I felt like that wasn't necessary at that time.
So I think it's important to say why, because the majority of the events we go to, we don't make money at those events. So
yes, that okay, since you want to go there, that was my perspective.
Yeah.
Again, just looking at it from a different vision and not understanding the full scope of what Keith has been visualizing for some time, I felt like that that he already had an ideal of what it was going to take to get to point B when I was still at so far behind. It's a challenge when you have one thing in mind for your business and your counterpart has another thing in mind that he's trying. One thing he was trying to always get me to understand is that it is so important to bridge the gap between you and a vendor or you and a client or you and a customer, that we have to make ourselves vulnerable during those times. Even if it was not getting paid, and I'm not that vulnerable type of person. And so to have your business to be vulnerable and sustainable to these events was a challenge for me at the time.
Yeah, so we've traveled a lot. The Facebook pictures look amazing. The reality of it is that we're small business owners, and we're 9 months into this thing. What has been one of the I like to say that running a small business mm-hmm. is like describing hunger. You can't describe hunger to someone who's never been hungry.
Okay.
So we're going to attempt to describe hunger to the listeners of the podcast. What are some of the things that we talked about on the onset as we talked about jumping off the diving board? It's easy to climb up the diving board, but it's really tough once you get to the edge of the diving board to jump off, and then keep in mind the lessons learned as you're diving off. What are some of those lessons that you can't really know until you've driven off the board?
I think for me is, and I think this is a very important lesson that I learned, and I truly appreciate what Keith and people within the community have shared with me. I was a person that was blind. I had no idea of what the community was and what it represents, and I just felt like, you know, the one thing that I fully understood and had a wide-eye view from was who my husband was as a person. So I would have to say again, if you're starting a business, how important it is to have a community of friends who are willing to support you through the whole process, whether it's why I should start a business, when I should start a business, am I going in the right direction, is this the direction that the industry want me to go in, and just being humble to get that feedback from that community. And I have to say that there has been a great deal of people who have shared with me that didn't even have to share with me on how Keith and I should perceive and how, as business owner, how the industry is looking at us. And then just from a pure financial standpoint, understanding what that means, we took some hits, and being vulnerable to take those hits without being afraid of what that looked like in the long run. And I'm not that type of person to take hits in financial. So again, just having that trust in that your counterperson who you're in business with plays a big deal for me, and just continue to play a big deal for it in this relationship that we have.
So you hit on a couple of interesting points that I want to make sure that I add some flavor or commentary. One, the community has been immensely valuable and important to us to this point. The Troyers, Greg and Ethan over at the Packet Pushers, Jason Collier over at the Scale Compute, and the list goes on and on. The whole Tech Field Day community, Stephen Foskett and such, I don't think we could have started the business without those specific people. Like we would have, I would have thought about it, then a couple of months later, we'd be done and back at work. The other piece is the financial commitment needed to run the business. So we had X amount of dollars in our mindset that we're going to set aside X amount of dollars for cash flow and for the business. That has been one of the biggest surprises for me personally. I said what I set aside was basically about 3 to 4 months of cash flow for the business. I wish I had 6 to 8 months. That was a burst of reality for me. That so no matter what your cash flow thoughts are, you can take that, double it, and probably double it again. And as a small business owner, there is no such thing as having too much cash, is the other lesson for me as well. So let's talk through the today. If we're here where we're at today, we have a roster of a few customers. The Twitter handle is growing. The YouTube channel is growing. We launched CTO Dose, the portal. We'll be doing videos at HP Discover in a couple of weeks here. What would it take for you to walk away? Like, you have a legitimate small business. You know, I have some expense reports that I still have to file. What would it take for you to, you know, say, hey, Keith, we need to pack this thing up and you need to go back into corporate life?
That's a difficult question, because there's not a right or wrong answer to it. As a company, you grow it like a baby. In the beginning, this was your vision, and I felt like that I wouldn't add value to the company. I'm just a sidekick, like in Batman and Robin. Rob was always the sidekick. But as the business has developed and everybody know their roles and responsibility, your thought process becomes better and clearer. I do add value to the company. So that's a challenging question. I've always wanted to be a part of something where I know that I'm going to add a value. I don't necessarily have to be the COO of the company, but I want to believe in something that drives you and I to continue to do it on a daily basis. I don't know if I have an answer for that right now, because we are still in such an early stage as trying to understand where the company can continue to grow. Of course, the opportunity to take CTO Advisor along with another company would be great, but the thought process of what does that mean for me individually versus you on a whole, that's something different. Something we have talked about and contemplated. If the CTO Advisor ever fold, what's to become of Melissa?
Yeah, so as I explore opportunities, as I think about that question myself, and I explore whether it's partnerships, customers, job offers, because as the CTO Advisor's brand grows, more people pay attention. As a result, especially from the vendor side, I'll get more inquiries. And as I think through, like, the steps of the business, so far as me and you, if I were to take a role, traditional job, then yeah, we have to figure out what you would do, but that's just between, you know, we kind of knew that coming in. But what happens if I take on when I take on the first employee, and that employee starts to depend on this as their livelihood, and then offers start to come in? You know, the CTO Advisor makes a livable wage.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my concerns, that when we talk about business versus personal relationship, I am still a valuable person, an individual that I think that where he have a hard time shifting, that I have desires as well. So I am an employee. So
oh.
I am not just your wife. I am an employee. So when it comes to these things, I think I have a more of a realistic perspective on that than you.
Okay.
Because you lump your career and your relationship with your wife as one, and I don't.
So this is one of those interesting behind the scenes kind of thought processes of what happens when you start a business with your significant other, is that there's bleed over. There's things where it's very difficult to compartmentalize and say, oh, this is a business decision versus this is a personal decision.
Exactly.
And I still struggle with it. I thought early on that I wouldn't have challenges with that, but this is a great example of where it is a challenge. I don't necessarily look at you all the time as an employee. I look at you as, you know what, that's my wife, and if I change strategy, then she'll just roll with me versus, you know what, this is also your career.
This is also my career that I've decided to put on hold for, not for Keith and Melissa Townsend, but for the CTO advisory. And there's a difference between the two on a daily basis. So if you ask me that question, I probably would have a little bit more invested in the company than you are.
Or you have a little bit more to lose.
I would have to say both. If I'm more invested in it and believe in it, then I will, in the end, I'm going to gain some skills. If I believe that I'm going to lose something in it, then I should never be in it in the beginning.
Wow. That's pretty profound. So I've personally enjoyed this conversation. I hope folks on the listening channel have enjoyed it. This is a bit of a change of pace from the usual tech talks and geeky conversation. I hope you'll stop by and listen to it. You can find the podcast at thectoadvisor.com/podcast or in iTunes. You know, this is a good one to refer your friends and family to. You can find me on the web at CTO Advisor on Twitter. And, of course, Mrs. CTO Advisor, do you have a Twitter handle?
Still don't have a Twitter handle.
Oh, okay. One of these days we'll get you to tweet. But you're on LinkedIn and people can search you on LinkedIn and I guess reach out to you there as well.
You can follow me on LinkedIn as well.
Okay. Until then, we'll talk to you next, CTO Advisor.